Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Hope you've had an awesome week. Last week, we talked about this whole concept of the Word using the Greek word logos. We started in John's Gospel in John chapter 1 and then went on from there. And the show ended before my notes did. And there were a few other points that I wanted to make. And so I thought we would continue this on this show without actually redoing the last week's show. And again, I should add that all the radio shows are archived on one of my websites, which is www.giftofgraceministries.org. That's giftofgraceministries.org. There's a tab across the top called Gift of Grace Radio. And if you click on there, every show going back to 2009 is archived there. So you can not only listen to last week's show again, but you can listen to shows from all those other years, from the days where it was an hour long to the last three or four years where it's been a half hour long. But anyway, there's also on that site a lot of Bible studies, both audio and text, and there's some other things you might find interesting. And since I'm advertising, there's another website called www.oneinmessiah.website, oneinmessiah.website, and you will find a similar amount of things there with a somewhat different emphasis. And there are podcasts. If you search for Dr. Phil/Gift of Grace, Dr. Phil/Gift of Grace, there's about 850-ish podcasts that have been listened to by well over 80,000 people now. And there's also a YouTube channel, which has all the YouTubes from the Friday night, One in Messiah, and various other teachings and other interesting videos. And the YouTube channel is at One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. There will be another website that is currently under construction that probably will be, I'll start advertising over the next probably month or 6 weeks, which is going to include online Bible courses that you can do. It will, of course, be of no charge. So I don't want anybody to think, oh, it's probably going to be $100. The charge is going to be zero for everything, as everything else is that I do. But anyway, we'll get to that later because that's been a little more complicated than doing the other things. But anyway, back to the Word, back to the Logos. And I think it's worth reading John chapter 1, John's Gospel. John, who I always like to point out, in the Gospels, he and his brother James are talked about a lot. In this, if you're watching the series, The Chosen, his brother James is Big James. Not to be confused with Little James, or he's technically called James the Lesser in church parlance. But anyway, they're the sons of Zebedee, and they're talked about a lot. They were fishing partners of Simon Peter. And Jesus himself refers to those two boys, their brothers, as the sons of thunder because they had a bad temper. And we don't get all the details of that. The Chosen series kind of added an interesting story where Jesus called them the sons of thunder. But John, the youngest of the 12, who was one of the sons of thunder, goes on to be the beloved apostle. He always refers to himself as the apostle that Jesus loved. And, of course, writes the gospel, writes three letters. Book of Revelation is another one of those books where most people say he wrote Revelation, and some people say it was a different John, because in Revelation, it starts out by saying, I, John. And in John's letters, he never mentions himself by name. But we're not here to discuss all that. But John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So this is the whole concept of the Logos. John calls Jesus the Word. Later on in his gospel, of course, he says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So this Logos becomes incarnate, takes on humanity in a completely real sense, 100% man and 100% God. But in the term of the Logos is his divinity. He becomes man, and he comes and lives with us. And I like the Greek that's used there, and I'm sure most of you know it, and I mentioned it last week, when it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt with us, the Greek means that he pitched his tent with us. In fact, we get the word tabernacle from the word for tent, because Jesus pitched his tent, he came and lived in a tent. And when you study Torah, and I don't want anybody rolling their eyes or sighing, because everyone should study Torah, because the Torah is all about Jesus. In John 5, Jesus said, Moses wrote about me. Everything prefigures him and points to him. And since I advertised all those things, I have another YouTube channel called The Torah Class, The Torah Class. And I found out from a friend of mine a few weeks ago that if you search for the Torah class, there's about 15 things that come up. So you have to kind of scroll down and see the one that has my name on it, or the background is always red, the background of the slides. But the Torah all points to him. And in Torah, the Torah promises a redeemer that's going to crush the head of Satan. And God, in the beginning, in fact, the very same words that John uses in his gospel, in the beginning, are the very first few words of the entire Bible, which, of course, you know, are in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John's gospel parallels the book of Genesis in the first couple of chapters, and even mentions different days. That happened the next day, the next day, the next day. Because John is actually pointing out, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, he's actually pointing out that now is a new creation. Because of Messiah Jesus, we are new creations. Paul says several times in his letters, I'm a new creation. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The old me was crucified. Now I'm a new person. We are new creations. Jesus said you can't enter the kingdom unless you're born again. You're born again of spirit and of water. You become a new creation. And so just like creation was spoken into existence, and again, this is the basis, This is how you should look at the basis for the word logos, for the word word. When you speak a word, your breath goes out from you. That's how you make sounds. So when creation, when God created everything, he spoke it into existence. Everything was created by a spoken word. Everything was created from the logos. Everything was created for Jesus, by Jesus, and through Jesus, who, of course, is divinity, is the second person of the Trinity, always was God when he was here on earth, and always will be God. There's never been a time where Jesus did not exist, nor was he not God. But because, of course, God would not give his omnipotence to a creature, and a created being couldn't create everything else, and there couldn't be two omnipotent beings, because then the Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4 would be violated. If you don't know what the Shema is, I don't know what to tell you, but the Shema is Deuteronomy 6:4, which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that can never be violated. So God is not only being, he's also word, he's also utterance. And even the writer to the Hebrews says, in these last days, God speaks to us through his Son. And the thing I always like to talk about is how this relates to Mount Sinai. Because, of course, on Mount Sinai, you had the glory cloud that covered the mountain. You had flashes of lightning. You had thunder. You had shofar blasts. You heard a powerful sound of God speaking to Moses. They saw all these manifestations, and the people couldn't deal with it. And they said, we can't deal with this. And they backed away from the mountain. And they said, God, you talk to Moses. Moses will talk to us. We can't handle this kind of voice, capital V. And God basically tells Moses they've spoken correctly. They can't handle this. And then at the time of Jesus, the time of the incarnate God, the God-man, they saw signs and wonders, and they heard a human voice. They saw a man, and they heard the voice of a man speaking the word of God, just like the word of God was spoken on Mount Sinai. But, of course, in a way that was much easier to process. It was much easier to comprehend. It was much easier to deal with than the thunder and the lightning and the shofar blasts and so forth. And so, another example of how Jesus is Word, he's Logos, he's the eternal Word. He's the eternal Word. And John tells us basically in that passage too that Jesus is in fact God. Everything was created by him and through him. Paul tells us in Colossians, everything was created by him, through him, and for him. His existence is before all things, and the word is eternally expressed. It's the Logos has gone on, this word that came from God has gone on from what we call the beginning in Genesis 1:1. And this is why in Hebrew the book's called Bereshit, which means in the beginning, because that's how the Bible starts out. Actually, it means in beginning. There's no the, but it sounds much better to say in the beginning, because that's the account that we get in the English-speaking Bible. Every translation, people argue about translations, and this word is this, and this word is that. But every translation starts out the book of Genesis by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Moses wrote that down. It was the account of creation that he got directly from God. It's the very beginning of Torah. It's the very beginning of everything, including the fact that in chapter 3 of Genesis, so immediately there's two creation accounts, chapter 1 and chapter 2, but then in chapter 3, of course, you have the fall of man, you have the fall of Adam and Eve. And in verse 15, you have the promise of a redeemer. So Moses, writing this down when the people were in the wilderness, right near the beginning of the beginning, writes down that there is going to be a redeemer who is going to come from the seed of the woman. So he's not going to have a human father. He's going to come from the woman. And he's going to crush the head of Satan. And the rest of the Bible, of course, goes on from there. So this word is eternally expressed. And this word is spoken of all through the scripture. It's not just in the New Testament, because we know from 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writes to Timothy and says, all scripture is inspired by God. What he actually says in Greek is that it's all breathed out by God. In fact, in normal, in physiology of animals, including humans, you breathe in air, that's called inspiration. You breathe out from your lungs, which is called expiration. Inspiration, expiration, it's about breathing, it's about breath, it's about spirit, it's about wind, it's all about wind and spirit and breath. And of course, to say a word, as I pointed out, you force air through your vocal cords. And it comes out your mouth as you speak. So our word goes out like that, but God's word goes out like that from the beginning and will for all eternity. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away. And it's not going to be too long from now. You know, Peter says that all the elements are going to melt. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. My logos will never pass away. And he's not just talking about words on a page. He's not talking about black type on white pieces of paper that you see when you open your Bible. Or in John's time, as he would have unrolled the scroll and seen black markings on parchment paper. He's talking about the word that comes from him. He's talking about himself being the eternal logos that is ever existent and ever going through time. His word is just as effective today as it was in the Garden of Eden. His word is just as powerful today as it was on Mount Sinai when Moses was receiving all 613 laws. So the word is eternally expressed. It's ongoing because he's eternally present. And through the Spirit, the word goes through. That passage from 2 Timothy 3:16 that the English Bibles say all scripture is inspired. We know that in the Greek, it says God breathed out the word. Again, it's logos, it's from breath. And you probably know that in Greek and in Hebrew, the word for spirit and breath and wind are the same word. I always found that fascinating, that the two biblical languages have that in common. Different words, of course, ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek. But it means spirit, it means breath, and it means wind. And so this breathing, this word, is going on through the whole of Scripture, through the whole of creation, and it'll go on to the end of eternity. Well, there's no end of eternity, but it'll go on into eternity, I should say, because it's never going, it never stops. His word will never pass away. You know, David recognized this, King David, who wrote the beautiful Psalms, most of the Psalms, not all, most of them. But I love Psalm 19. Everyone kind of has heard this or knows this. Starting in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So the heavens show the glory of God. I would refer you to Romans chapter 1, because in my One in Messiah ministry, we connect Old Testament passages with New Testament passages, because the scripture is all one. Now, and in case you don't feel like looking it up, Romans chapter 1, Paul says, God's nature, God's glory is evident in everything that's been created. And he adds, so that every man is without excuse. Everyone is without excuse. So in other words, when you die, you can't say to God, I had no idea. I didn't know you really were here. I didn't know you were real. He says, everything I made shows that I'm real. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So his word goes through the whole earth. David thought the earth was flat, so you could say to the end of the earth. So this eternal logos is always present, has created everything. And he's light in the darkness, as John points out. And he's the life of men. He speaks life, and he's light in the darkness. And now we're living in a time of, you might think, complete darkness, but it's never complete. There is a remnant present. But the eternal word, the logos, he says, penetrates the darkness. Because light penetrates the darkness. You know, when you flip the switch, the room immediately lights up, even if the room is pitch black. When you light a candle, as soon as you strike the match, the room lights up. And this is heard, this light penetrating things is heard through the whole scripture. But John says the darkness doesn't comprehend it. The world today does not comprehend it. Well, Jesus himself told us, the world is going to hate us because it hates him. The world hates him. The world is at war with him. Turn your TV on, watch the news, listen to politicians, listen to entertainment industries, listen to everybody in the media, in big tech, or whatever you want to call it. The world hates him. The world doesn't want to see the light because we worship ourselves. We will decide everything. We're not going to be told what to do. We're not going to be told what's right and wrong. We'll decide that for ourselves. Going back to John chapter 1 and verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Just like when he rides into the city, and people in the city say, who is this? He comes into his own city, the city of the king, and people don't know who he is. He came into the world that he made with his light, and people say, I don't like this. I don't like this light. He goes on to say, I know we're running out of time really fast. He goes on to say, the world doesn't like the light because its deeds are evil. So men prefer the darkness rather than the light. So this eternal word, the logos, is always here, it's always going through everything. And please read all of John chapter 1, because it's so awesome. I know the music is playing. Well, thanks for listening, and tune in again next week to Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's Word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation of Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.